Hi, friend, and welcome to the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a place for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a business that integrates into your life instead of taking over it. So let me ask you something. How would it feel to unapologetically chase your definition of success? See, I'm on a mission to do this, and I want you to come along with me in becoming an unapologetic entrepreneur. This is someone who has defined success on their terms and is committed to setting boundaries and making progress towards achieving that success. I'm your host, Amanda McKinney, and after several years of entrepreneurship, I found myself chasing someone else's definition of success, and I actually couldn't answer the question, what does success look like for you, Amanda? This started me on a journey to understanding this answer for myself, and I now understand that our definition of success, it evolves over time. But the key is to always know what our definition is in each season of our life. And on this podcast, I am dedicated to exploring how other entrepreneurs have shown up unapologetically and sharing my journey, of course, too. So pop in those earbuds so we can explore topics such as success, goals, mindset, of course, marketing, and money. You will walk away inspired through stories and ready to take action through clearly defined steps. So let's dig in. Hi, friend. You are in for such a treat today. My guest has impacted my life and my business in so many ways, and many of those she doesn't even know. And the fact that I was able to chat with her and now connect several times even after this conversation has happened, it has continued to impact my life in such a positive way. And she says at the end of this conversation that she believes that the world is a better place when women empower and lift up other women. And I could not agree more. And this conversation is such a great example of that. So I was first introduced to today's guest when I started hearing her name from so many of my students. This was when I was solely focused on working with yoga teachers, and the name Laura Hyman just continued to come up. So many of my students started talking about her in such a positive way, and I quickly realized what a powerhouse this amazing woman is. So from afar, I admired her business for quite some time, and I often wondered, I wonder if I'll ever connect with her. So fast forward a few years, I asked one of my students if she was willing to make the connection between the two of us, and of course she was. And Laura and I immediately hit it off through email, we booked each other on our podcast, and oh my gosh, we had so much fun. We've now talked for several hours on each podcast and more, and we've just had so much fun together. And the reason that I'm elaborating on this so much is because I have such a unique lens that I get to see and hear so many business owners and the nerves that come along with certain things in business. And I often hear that people are nervous to ask for connections and favors in their business and/or are nervous about competition in some way. And that's why I wanted to hone in on this. So if I had been nervous to ask for that connection, I would have never met someone who, number one, has impacted my life in a lot of ways even before we connected. But now I have an amazing connection with. She was one of those people that I got off the call with, and I immediately told my husband, oh my gosh, you know, when I connect with some people in a certain way, and today was one of those days, and I'm so excited because it was just a fun conversation that we got to have, and I look forward to even more of them. And so I say all of this because both Laura and I want to encourage you to make the ask, because the answer is always going to be no if you don't make the ask. And surround yourself with people who want to lift you up and who will connect you with other people, with very specifically other like-minded people, so that you can collaborate and not worry about competition. And Laura is a great example of someone who 100% embraces the collaboration mindset, and she has an unbelievably successful business, but not just by my definition, it's by her definition. And that's something you're going to hear weaved throughout this entire conversation, because it is very clear that she knew what her definition of success was and was relentless in chasing it, which is so beautiful to see. So on that note, if you aren't sure what success is for you and how you define it. I would love for you to define this on your terms. You can get the free guide that I have on this topic because I believe in it so much at amandamckinney.com/success. And that guide walks you through it step by step. So you can do this in about 20 minutes. And I promise you, as you listen to this conversation, by the end, you're going to want to define success on your terms because it is very clear that she did this and it allowed her to follow the breadcrumbs and leads her to success all along her journey. So I know that this is going to inspire you to do the same. But before I turn the mic over to Laura, I want to tell you a little bit about her just in case you haven't heard of her yet. So Laura is a physical therapist who combined her love of anatomy, creative movement, and functional training and actually developed a method of her own called Lit Yoga. This led her to creating Lit Daily, which is an online platform that I highly recommend, and it has over 600 classes to choose from. She also has a yoga teacher training for both 200 and 500 hours and is the incredible host of the Redefining Yoga podcast that has over, get ready for it, 3 million downloads. My goodness. So beyond all of those numbers, Laura is also a wife and a mom, and she wears so many other hats in a beautiful way. And you're going to hear in this conversation how she integrates all of those into her life and business. And like I said, I have no doubt that you're going to be inspired to chase your definition after hearing from her. So I won't make you wait any longer. Let's hear from Laura. Laura, thank you so much for being here today. I cannot wait to talk to you and ask you all the questions. But before I do, can you tell us a little bit about you and how you serve your clients?
Oh, thank you, Amanda. Well, I kind of look at myself as a movement specialist because I have a physical therapy background. And I understand the body really well, but I also, in that background, have a specialization in understanding the brain-body connection. So it's really, I like to look at movement as just a depiction of people's energy and stories that they carry and trying to help them really maximize their energy and feel their best and perhaps lay down a better story for themselves. So that's my biggest goal, is for people to feel at home in their body, to really realize, like, this is your best friend. This is going to be with you your entire life. And a lot of the disconnect or even dislike people have for their body, and I'm not just talking about the way it looks, even the way it feels, like having like, oh, I have a bad shoulder, this language that people will use. I always try and reframe it and just teach. I think a lot of that stems from the lack of education we all get. Unless you specifically become a physical therapist, we're not taught about our bodies. So it's like we're kind of in this mystery suit of our spirit. And to discover it and understand it is the best way to really honor and love it.
That is beautifully said. And so many nuggets of wisdom in there already, like 30 seconds into a podcast interview, is, you know, just understanding your body and getting to know your body. And when you said, like, I have a bad shoulder or something that someone says, I could imagine how many times I have said this about something on my body. And very specifically, I had a knee injury several years ago. And about that time, I was introduced and became a friend of someone that we both know, Megan Spears. And she was one of the first people to tell me, and not to tell me in like a reprimanding way of any way, she was talking to me about the language that I used related to this knee injury. And it was such an interesting experience to really identify, like, how I talk about this situation is really impactful overall. And so I don't say that anymore. I don't say I have a bad knee or whatever. It's just, it's sensitive sometimes.
It is. And we unknowingly identify with that. And so then we have a negative energy about that. And that is part of that negative relationship that we can have with ourselves. And, you know, this happens all the time in PT clinics, even in yoga. Oh, I'm really bad at yoga. I always say to people, well, what does that mean? Like, no one is bad at yoga. Nobody's judging. That implies that you're comparing yourself to some standard that you feel like you're falling short of. And it's the language. So I'm really very specific when I talk to people about their body. And when they'll say something like, oh, I have a bad shoulder, a bad knee. You know, I will say the same thing, Megan. Like, it's like your knee has had something that bothered it. Like it's been impacted and let's help that. But your knee is not, it's not a bad knee. Didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
You know, it's just, if you think of the way you would talk to, say, my dog, you know, my dog is a wonderful dog. But somebody rings the doorbell and he barks like crazy. And that's like, that's what he's made to do. I don't say he's a bad dog. Like, you know, it's just, that's what he's made to do. Do I want him to bark every time somebody comes? No. But so you just understand, because I love him, I would never say he's bad. So why would we say that to ourselves? Even if we're using it as a kind of qualifier to explain something, it's, we have to first really be very gentle and tender in our language to ourselves, because that really helps the process of learning and loving ourselves.
I love it so much. And, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking of how wonderfully connected this is to how we probably talk to ourselves as entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. You know, when we say we have a bad knee or whatever about our bodies, I have people all the time tell me, Amanda, I am terrible with technology. I hate marketing. It's so bad. You know, there's all this language, or like, I'm not good enough. I didn't go to business school. There's so much language around being an entrepreneur. Do you remember any of that when you first got started?
You know, I often say I was a reluctant entrepreneur, meaning it wasn't something that I specifically chose. It kind of chose me in a way. And I think that, first of all, helped because I didn't come in with this identification of being something. You know, it was more that I saw some big gaps in areas that I really cared about. And I just brought my expertise into those areas. There was many things I did not know about, I did not have education about or experience with, but I didn't say I'm a bad business person. I just said, I haven't yet learned this. And so I think also because I don't want to say I tiptoed in, but I really had stages. You know, it wasn't like came out of school, now I'm going to create a brand and going into it. It was really, you know, sometimes people will say, they'll look at the things I'm doing and they'll think like it just happened overnight, and it didn't at all. Like this was a very slow progression, in part because I really did not have this sense that it was a business for a while. And so I think that also helped my language, because I knew that this was an area that, just like people don't know about their body, I didn't know about business. I didn't know about marketing. I didn't know about e-commerce or technology. And so that's okay, you know, and that's also not my interest per se, but it's a necessary ingredient. So, you know, I learn what I'm interested in about it. And then when I had the ability, I would hire people to fill in those areas that I just didn't want to spend my time and energy. Because I think the biggest thing for small business owners or anybody who's an entrepreneur for their own brand is you're doing something that you have passion about, that really just, you know, fuels you. And you have to be careful to not let all the other things that might in fact drain you overcome that passion. And that's where I feel like that I've done really well, is I still wake up every day, 28 years of being a PT and a teacher, and I'm excited about what I'm doing, because that's my primary job, really, is to educate. And in doing that, to expose it to larger audiences, to put it, to package it well, requires a business. And so that's been part of it. But it's because the bigger picture was always like, how do I share that education in the most impactful way? And certainly people can choose to not go that route and have a much smaller business model and be happy with that.
Right. Everyone gets the opportunity to define what success is for them and what that means. And of course, it changes over time too. And I love how you approach this. And I would say what a gift that is that you had in that moment. I don't know how many years ago you would say you started your business. You said 28 years of being a PT, but I want to like rewind the tapes and explore that 28 years ago and see when you decided like, I'm starting a business, like when that feels like. But not everyone has the lens that you have. And so if no one has told you that's a gift, it is a true gift because so many people are so nervous once they have that realization that this passion could turn into a business, it paralyzes them. And that's the people that I usually end up with that are like, they're courageous enough, but they need the pep talk, you know, and that's what I'm here for. And so those people are so nervous. We're all so nervous. And so something in you was like, I'm so passionate. I'm scared, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to tiptoe into this one step at a time. So let's rewind the tapes and go back. You graduated PT school. Did you start your business right after that or did you work for someone else?
I would say, so 28 years ago in August, I graduated. And I also started 2 months later to teach and practice yoga. So that kind of happened together because there wasn't a lot of yoga teaching around here. But I had a fitness background. I had been teaching aerobics and step aerobics and spinning. I'd always really loved movement and teaching it. And, you know, that was kind of like, I loved it. So I did that for a number of years. So I would really say 20 years ago. So that was 28 years ago. 20 years ago, I was doing both of those. And then I had my daughter. And I think that was like the pivotal point because I stopped working in the clinic. And then I continued to teach yoga for a little bit, but it was just too much because she was nursing. I always say, thank you, Olivia, for never taking a bottle because that might have been the thing that started it all. She didn't take a bottle. So I would go and teach an hour and a half class. And it would be like almost 2.5, 3 hours total.
Sure.
To get there, teach the class, talk to people afterwards, come home. And I remember one time my husband, I had done that like 3 times and he called me and all I hear is my daughter screaming. And he's like, how soon are you going to be home? And I just was like, I can't do this anymore. This is not fair to him or to her. So I stopped and I had probably about 40 people in those classes and several of them contacted me and said, I hear you're not teaching anymore. Oh my gosh, would you teach us a private group if we came to you?
Aww.
And I said, so I also really, I always give them props, these people that, you know, were my early people. And I said, sure. So they came and I started teaching small group classes. I happen to have, so again, I had certain luck thing. I happen to have a studio that was an art studio from the people that had built the house before us that my husband used as an office. But his office hours were in the afternoon. So early in the morning hours, I taught yoga. And so I did that. I had my second child. I was continuing to do some home care PT with neurologically impaired clients. That was my specialization that I got after my master's. And it was really in one of these moments where I was working with a stroke patient doing developmental things on the ground. And he had gone from being paralyzed in one arm, essentially hemiplegic, to being able to weight bear and start crawling. And I thought, wow, you know, this is amazing. He's made such progress. And at that time, I had been practicing for about 8 or 9 years. And I just felt a staleness, you know, it wasn't as exciting. And I thought, what if I started doing some of the stuff I do with my PT clients? And just if he made this much progress, and his brain has got an injury, what would it be like for somebody who doesn't have that, you know? And so I just started tinkering around and it like changed my practice. In a few months, I started introducing it to my small group. And at first they were like, this is weird. This is but we trust you, Laura, so we're going to go with it. And within a month, they're like, why isn't everybody doing this? So that progressed to moving into another home where I built a home studio so I could have more people, because I could only fit five in that little art studio. And what would happen is these five would tell their friends, and then I would develop another class. And I developed as many classes as I could do. And I thought, if I double the number that I can fit in there, I can satisfy like all these people that hear about it that want to take it, but there's just not enough time for me to do that. So I did that, and we moved in this house in 2009. And within 18 months, I had 10 people in a class, and I was teaching 18 classes.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
And it was an amazing, so here's an example. Like that, for someone, is like, that could be an ideal, because it was really lucrative, no overhead. I was totally in charge. But for me, so I think many people thought I would be crazy to leave that behind. But what I found was I was dissatisfied with all the people who these people told and wanted to come. So at this point, I had about 140 clients, but I had more people who wanted to take. And then the second, so that was disappointing, because I was like, I want to reach more people, but I just can't teach anymore. Because I was doing that while my kids were at school. And then I had a hard rule. I didn't teach in the afternoon, evening, or on weekends. So then my clients, when I would go on like a vacation or something, I came back and some of them were like, you can't go on vacation. You can't go anywhere else because we're afraid we're going to get injured. And I thought, what? That was because I was really in my bubble. I wasn't realizing, you know, and some people would go to a yoga studio and they didn't feel like they were getting the same education, and the movement was fast, and there was like really this glorification for in-range motion. And my students were kind of telling me, they were like the voice box for the outside world. Like, more people need this because we love it and we can't go anywhere else. And so I thought, I need to create a teacher training, because I don't believe, at the same time, this was again, 2010, Yoga Alliance had been around for about 8 years, I think at this point, maybe nine. And there was an explosion of teacher trainings. I won't get into all of that, but it's the example of when you have a monopoly on something, the accreditation board, and then you just charge people to run a teacher training. So I could be out of a teacher training that might have been a crappy teacher training, by the way, for a year or two, and then decide I'm going to run my own. All I have to do is pay this board a certain amount of money and run my teacher training. And so that was happening exponentially. So thousands of people are coming out of teacher trainings with teaching movement that requires your body to move and having almost no knowledge about the body. And that is a disastrous system. I always compare it to like, that's like trying to, like me trying to be a car mechanic just because I know how to look under the hood and, you know, charge my battery if needed. That's it. Anything more than that, I'm out of ammunition, right? I can know the mechanics of a car, but boy, if anything were to happen or it's like off kilter so I felt really bad for the teachers because there was no major oversight on how much education they got about biomechanics and anatomy and functional anatomy, applying it, not just teaching them 10 hours, like this is a scapula. Well, that doesn't matter if you don't know like why the scapula is important and where it needs to be when the arm is below 90 degrees and where it needs to be when the arm is above 90 degrees. It's not rocket science, but people can learn it. And that's when I realized I just need to teach people. I need to teach teachers. So I made a teacher training. Then I had a teacher training and I'm like, I was renting out space and I thought, I got to have a studio so I can have these people teach. So it's just like one, it's like the ball rolled. And I just kept answering the need. So I opened a brick and mortar studio in 2011. And then it just grew from there. And so again, I could have been really satisfied with that. And to your point about needing, like a lot of people needing that like assurance, I did need that to get to where I am now. Because I was doing that and I was doing some stuff on another platform that had a lot of visibility. And I had some really clever, intelligent young people say to me, why are you not doing your own platform? Like this, you need to be on your own platform. And I needed a cheerleader to say, you should do this. This is needed. And you are the leader for this. So get your own platform. Because I don't think I would have done that because there was a lot of ease of not having my own platform. And just, but then it just became like, okay, yeah, if I really want more people beyond, you know, the Northeast where I live to be, have access to this, I have to create something online. And so that's really where everything just volumed up a lot.
Right. You know, what I'm hearing in this is so lovely. It's, you saw the need, you heard it from the people who are giving you the information. So your students. So often, we all humans, I think, can get caught up in the shoulds. Oh, so-and-so said I should do this. Other people are doing this. I should do this. You were really tuned in to your students and your students said, hey, we want this. Can we come to you? And you answered that need. So you were really tuned in to your target audience, who is your students. And you were also very in tune with what you wanted. So I love that you were like, I could be very satisfied with this. However, I know that I'm not. So I'm going to keep going and answer this need of my own as well. And marrying those two gives you the business that you have today, which is, you know, when I look at it, what 20 years later, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so inspiring. You're doing all these amazing things. And it's interesting what our brain can do because we automatically think like, oh, she just has it all figured out, right? Like our brain just
open this up and could, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so thank you for sharing the step-by-step of, you know, you just answered the call from yourself and your students and took one step in front of the other and had support all along the way. You didn't really say that, but I know that you saying like, yeah, you had support all along the way, which is super duper helpful.
Yeah, I will say, you know, a couple things. I'm wired for this, but not everybody is. That doesn't mean, you know, it's just knowing like, are you wired to work really hard, to do a lot of things by yourself? You know, being an entrepreneur is a very solo experience. And some people, that could translate into being lonely. For me, I've never felt lonely in it because it didn't consume me. But I think you need to know your wiring. I'm wired for this. I'm great, you know, with people, but I'm really good, like with my vision on my own. And that's just a wiring. And I have friends who couldn't do this. They can do other things really well, but this would be like way too much energy and time in a very solo way. I think pretty much any successful entrepreneur would say that. Like it is going to be some solo time and you got to be okay with that. What I mean by that is like many times of choosing, oh, I can't go to, or I'm choosing not to do this, not to do, you know, the lunch with ladies or this or that, you know, just, it's just not like, this is my focus. And I have that like hyper-focus wiring. The other thing is I have a very supportive husband. I had the privilege of taking small risks there. I didn't have to take any huge risk because a lot of it came to me. And then when I opened the studio, I had 140 students already. Like I didn't have to start from zero. So I was profitable from the very beginning. I didn't go through that like 2 years of scraping by. So I had some things really working for me that I think are really important to recognize. And one of them also is like, I knew I wasn't going to starve. Like if this didn't work, I have a husband who, you know, has a good job. And I think that's really important to recognize because and look at this. I did it gradually as my kids age. I could not be doing what I'm doing now with young kids. Personally, I know there's people out there, but personally, I did not want to do that. So for anyone who's listening, who is in any of these camps, doesn't have a lot of their own, doesn't have a partner or backing if something were to fall through, or you have a family and young children, it is much harder. I'm not saying it's not possible, but I think it's such a loaded BS when they think women or men or whoever is the primary caregiver can do all these things really well, because I would argue you can't. So you just decide what are your priorities and then be satisfied with slower growth so that you can manage it all. And that's where I know that's what I did really well, is I had my very clear boundaries of like when I would work, when I wouldn't. And now I don't have that. And so my husband's like, it's 9 o'clock. So because my kids are older. So I'm like, actually, I have to remember my husband. So, you know, it's not perfect, but I think just you get to know yourself really well. And if you're coming back every day feeling inspired, then that means you're wired for this. If you're coming back every day for the most part feeling drained and overwhelmed, it might not be your thing, and that's okay. I think it's really important to know what your wiring is.
Gosh, yes. All things yes to that. You know, I think it's so important that we know the season of life, which is what you're talking about in terms of, you know, we can be wired for something. I think knowing your wiring is so key. But I think it's coupled with that season of life, because like you said, like you have been wired for this your whole life. It's just part of who you are. So it's easier, not easy, but easier for you to do a lot of the things than it is for someone else. I think people can learn to do a lot of different things, even if you're not wired for it right away, but the why has to be really strong, has to be like concrete strong, but the season of life can make or break it. And sometimes we're in a season of life where it's just not possible. And I hope that anyone experiencing that of like, I want to do this so bad, but right now I can't do it. I hope you know deep down in your soul and in your heart that it is not a no forever. It is just a no for right now.
Yes. Amen. Mm. I know so many examples of people who got that kind of, you know, acceleration later on.
Yeah.
There could be a lot to be said for that. It doesn't mean if you're young and you've got all the wiring and yeah, it is a season, but you know, also I think just be satisfied with that things, forward progress of any kind is great. It doesn't have to be large steps.
Yeah. I think those small steps are the ones that often get us to a place in a healthier way. You know, I've experienced, I'm certain you have too, you know, rapid growth in whatever that is. So at one point I had a membership and I did like the open closed membership model, and I opened it and all things were good. I opened it again, all things were good. And then another time it doubled in size within a week, which is like a dream from a revenue standpoint, from a goal standpoint, like everything was good. And as you know, when you double something, the growing pains are unbelievable. And it doesn't matter if you're going from 10 to 20 or 20 to 2000 or like however you're doing the doubling, it comes with growing pains regardless. And I remember thinking, I like slow growth. Like that was a hard week.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you could say more people, more money, more issues. And, you know, that's just something that you can recognize. It doesn't mean, but it's like, if you do it in a slow amount, you can handle it. And it doesn't feel like you're getting tapped out or overwhelmed or, you know, at all distilling your product. Because, you know, to me, everything, the customer satisfaction is everything. Mm-hmm. It really is. And, you know, there's always going to be some limits to that. There's things we can't do, we'd love to do, that would be like, but people are really, really satisfied with what we offer. And that means everything to me.
Right. It's huge. And I have the amazing privilege of having known so many of your students, which is the coolest thing. You know, you and I have talked about this, is like, it's so neat to see. And I love how you have built your business. And I can attest on the other side of knowing some of your students that they do love what you have. And they come out on the other side being really good business owners, which is something I love so much, because when they go through any of your programs and then knock on my virtual door, it's like, I know this is going to be great.
love that.
It just works out so well. And I think it's in so much part, well, it's all because of what you're teaching, but part of it is because they're seeing your business. And I think so many, specifically yoga teachers, don't see successful businesses all the time. And yours, by my definition, and hopefully yours as well, because that's the one that's way more important, is very successful. You know, when I look at it, when all of us look at it, it's very successful. You have a method, you have all of these things. Like, there's a lot behind the scenes. You've got a team and all of this. And so I think when people can see a successful business, they're more apt and willing to think about their own successful business and what that means to them.
Yeah, it's a model that they can either recreate or be inspired by, that's not just teach at 10 different studios, 18 classes right. a week in a very unsustainable way, you know? And that's really, I think that was kind of the only way to really do this as a full-time thing, is just you'd have to output a lot without getting, you know, the quality of what you're putting out in terms of revenue back.
Right. And I think a lot of businesses are like that, especially anyone who is following that passion. So those are the people that I end up working with, whether it's a yoga teacher or a florist or a creator of something, and they're selling things on Etsy. You know, it's someone who's followed some sort of a passion, and then they're willing and courageous enough to put on that business owner hat, that entrepreneur hat, and say, I'm going to do this as a business. And that's when we have to think about things a little bit differently. And that's often the scary part. So thinking about that person, and, you know, they're going to rush off and go look at your amazing website and go check you out. And they're going to be like, oh my gosh, Laura's amazing. She's doing all these things. I want you to tell them something. Someone who is like 20 years ago, and they're sitting here listening today and thinking, can I do this? What would you say to that person?
I would say, absolutely. Like, listen to your heart. And then also, like, I listen to the people, look for the gaps, look for the spaces in your business that, where the service is not being met to the same degree. And don't be scared to do something different. Like, it will be challenging sometimes. And again, this is my wiring. I'm fine with this, like, to be different. I've been teaching non-yoga combinations of stuff for 20 years. And it's now much more common to see that. But let me tell you, there was many years where people who were not my regulars might come in, or I remember going to, you know, a festival I was invited to teach, and everybody was like doing the very standard vinyasa, lots of flinging around. And, you know, I was having them do a little plyo this and this. I remember the looks were just like, what? This isn't yoga. And I didn't care. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, whether they like it or not, my job is not for them to like me or my product. My job is to really convey the benefits and the reason why. This isn't for just to be novel. There's a real reason for it. So those early days, I just giggle at now, because it's like, I just said, I pushed the rock up a hill, the boulder. So be willing to do that. I promise the ones that are really so clear, like, I think that's the other thing, is you can do this. Absolutely. Be patient, push the boulder, but know that at some point, it's gonna start getting that traction. And that's what people will see now. I pushed it for a long time behind the scenes. I wasn't suffering financially. I wasn't suffering mentally to do that. I knew that I'm doing this for this greater good. And if it never goes beyond my studio, fine. But I didn't ever betray myself.
That's so good, about knowing that it's okay to do things differently, Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like you even called it out, like that's your wiring, that you didn't struggle with that. You were like, this is what I want to do. I'm convicted. I'm going through and doing this. Some people may struggle with that a little bit more, but I hope that no matter where they fall on that spectrum of worry about what other people think, that everyone heard that it's, if you believe in the thing and you follow that and you're willing, like I think there's so much in that, because I think a lot of people think I'm going to start my own business so that it's easier. I would never say that that's going to be the easiest route you can ever have. I believe it can be the most fulfilling, but it's not easy.
No, it's definitely harder than just kind of clocking in and out a 9-to-5 job for sure. But it is way more fulfilling. It like exponentially more fulfilling.
I totally agree with that wholeheartedly.
More fulfilling in every way, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, possibly, which I really believe if you are coming into it. And again, you're really clear on your why. And let me just say, when I say I didn't betray myself, I don't betray myself, my clear mission, but I'm also very willing to listen to like what could be done differently. Not in the model of my brand in terms of the mechanics, like what I teach, and I'm not going to change that, but in how I present it, how I've needed to shift. I came out with my online platform based on what I taught at my studio. And even though my studio was made of 30 to 70 year olds, they were doing lit all the time. They were amazing. And so most people aren't like that. So I started that way. And then what I would hear is like, this is too hard. This is too challenging. And mm-hmm. I thought, oh, wow. So I had to listen to that.
Right.
People actually need this slowed down. They need a 20-minute class. They need a 30-minute class. They need it to, you know, so I think it's like, your mission doesn't change, your values, your core beliefs, but then also really listen, because that'll help a lot.
Gosh, I love this so much. And now I'm really wishing, like this could have been an interview for my book. Like what we're talking about right now, like now I'm like, dang, I wish I had a quote from you.
Where's
in my
the
book.
Addendum?
Yeah. The next one for sure.
Next one, right? Yeah.
Because this is what the whole book is about, is creating your compass for your business that has nothing to do with like what the output is. It's knowing yourself. How do you define success? What are those core values? Because that guides you. And then, like you said, you listen to your audience to make the output better. Because that's what we have to do that. If we don't listen to anyone else, we will definitely fail in business for sure. Like it'll go crashing down because we have to listen to our customers. But we also have to start knowing what we want to do. And then, you know, it's kind of like knowing where you'll bend and knowing where you won't.
Exactly. I think of it as like, be super passionate and super committed and also really humble. Like humility is very important because that just means that you're willing to change. You're willing to listen. You're willing to adapt and pivot as needed for the better good. And it's again from, you know, that's a, like your compass doesn't change, but I think having that dose of humility is, and that's why it's important to, I really think, you know, from the people who were like, this isn't yoga, whatever, to the people who are like, this has changed my life. Like while I love the people who say this has changed my life, it doesn't, neither one is going, I don't hold on to either one, I should say, right? Mm-hmm. Because if I just like held on to all the people who are like, oh, this changed my life, that could really, you know, that might impact me.
Right.
That's not my nature. I know like this is an experience and they're sharing with me and I'm so grateful. I just feel so grateful for that. That something that I provided had an impact like that. And then the person who's like, this is not for me. I can't believe that you're even calling this yoga. I'm grateful they're clear on that. You know what I mean? But I think we have to also that it's not being putting a shell on. It's just being really clear with yourself that people who love it or don't love it, neither one are going to change you. So you're not going to become like really haughty if everybody loves it. And you're also not going to be all depressed if people don't like it. You just stay clear. And that, I think, is just vital. It's vital as a human, but really vital when you have some kind of brand or product.
Absolutely. And you tapped into something that I get asked all the time, and I'm certain you do too. There's no way people don't ask you this. And I get asked, Amanda, how do you deal with the negative comments? How do you deal with when people are upset with you or you say something? Because obviously both you and I have a podcast. We put out a lot of content. And when you put out content, it's inevitable that someone's going to be pissed off. Like someone's going to be not liking it. And the more people that follow you, the more people that could possibly be mad or whatever, disagree. And I love that you called attention to actually not holding on to either one. The amazing testimonials that you get from people who are just, you're just raving fans, which is amazing. Everyone, please don't ever stop doing that, right? Like those, we need you too.
They fuel me. They really just, I can't even, like every time I read something, I do get teary. It doesn't change. Like it could be the 10th person or the 1,000th person. Like it really, it warms my heart. But I guess I don't wear it. You know what I mean? I'm like, good. Then keep providing that, you know? And similarly, so negative comments in honesty, I don't get many, at least to me directly. So I don't know them. If we get anything, like somebody trying the platform out and deciding it wasn't for them, we do have an exit poll, like, and 98% of it is this is too expensive. And I honor that. Mm-hmm. You know, although we could spend a whole other day on
yes,
because
we could.
I'm like, listen, your health should be the first thing that you spend money on and the last thing you bargain with. Mm-hmm. Right. But that's not my job. It's just also, I'm also, you know, I think I provide a very reasonably priced product, but if somebody doesn't see that, that's fine. So that to me is something that's outside of me. They're not making a negative comment on me. Mm-hmm. And so I haven't had really any negative comments. The only negative comments that I've gotten on occasion on Instagram are about my body. And never about my teaching. So that would, the teaching, if somebody said, wow, I really can't stand the way she talks, or, you know, that would bother me. I can't deny it. That would bother me. Cause I'm like, I feel like I'm a good educator and this is all you can say. So I am not going to lie. I would be upset about that because it's, whether it's accurate or not, that feels, you know, kind of personal about my education. When you talk about my body, it doesn't bother me, but it bothers me as a woman. And I'm really like, I haven't had it in a while, but I did have it like last week. And this woman said, oh my God, you need to eat, da 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 da. And I used to just delete them. And I just wrote back to her. I'm like, really, is that all you can say when I'm providing this education? And then I said, you know, I've had big ribs my whole life. That's how I'm made. They're prominent. It's not an indication of, you know, not eating enough. And, you know, I think you should know by now that commenting on other people's body is not appropriate. And so I haven't had to do that in a while, but that makes me angry actually. Mm-hmm. Because I just feel like, and people will say, oh, those are just trolls. This person probably was. She has like 2 followers, you know, and is private. But I'm not going to let people get away with that. Like, I'm like, you know what? Come on. You're getting this free educational content. And that's all I'm providing. I'm not asking you for anything. I don't even ask if you like it. But I'm not asking you, and I'm not allowing for you to just come on here and make a comment about my body, because I'm sure you scroll around and do that to other people. And that is not kind. It doesn't matter if somebody's overweight, underweight, whatever it is, that is not your business. And you know, so, but this, I know where that comes from, you know, hurt people. I know all of that.
Right.
But I also, you got to teach people, like,
yeah,
you know, if people are rude and we just ignore them, Fine. But if I give them an opportunity, if I teach them like, hey, you know what, actually that's not acceptable. And that's
right.
Those are my rules. So
right.
I do think we have to have some rules about civility. And so that's in terms of like negativity, that's about the only kind of negativity I get. And mm-hmm. But truthfully, if I had a product that, you know, that I was selling and somebody like wrote, oh, this didn't fit well at all, I don't know. I do have a very sensitive chip because I want to, mm-hmm. you know, I want to be, like I said, customer service is everything because I really want to provide something of value. So I don't have any great nuggets of wisdom because I haven't had it. I haven't had to deal with it, but I would say that, you know, probably just realize you're not going to satisfy everybody. You're not everybody's going to like what you have to offer. And that's okay because there's billions of people in the world.
And right. So
look at the people who are loving it and appreciate them and, you know, make changes if there's some really helpful comments of criticism. But otherwise, you know, you have to kind of, I wouldn't pay much attention to it because it could really hurt you.
Right. You know, it's interesting. You said, I don't have any nuggets of wisdom. Yes, you do. You had plenty in that. And the one that I want to make sure that I pull out in case anyone did miss this is you were able to identify what is important to you. This is a theme, this entire conversation. You knew whether you defined success in words or feelings. You knew what you wanted to do in your business. This isn't enough. I want to do more. Right. And you followed that. Same thing with dealing with people is you're like, if someone said something about this, it's not an issue. Like if someone was like, that tree in the back of your video is dead or whatever, you'd be like, meh, like it wouldn't even bother you. However, your boundary is if someone says something about my body, I'm calling them out on it because that's inappropriate. And that could be different for someone else, but it's like, what is the things that we want to call attention to or respond to? And what are the things that is not a big deal and we'll let it go? And then the filter of, is this helpful information that I could actually improve my product on? Like that woman commenting on your body, that's not improving your product at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all.
Yeah.
But if she were to say something about
space that I'm in charge of, so I get to tell her, you know?
And exactly.
You know, kindness is huge. It's one of my values. And, you know, to that point, when I had a studio, it was kind of understood that this is a no gossip studio. Teachers, we had a bunch of teachers. I had managers. Like, if you have any issues with someone else, come to me and talk to me. This is not something that is going to, it's just not tolerated, you know? And people loved the studio. It was loving. There wasn't that kind of competitive, like looking at each other thing. So I do think you kind of have to hold a standard to what you want and what you will not accept.
Yeah. And when we can do that for ourselves, I even have a whole chapter in the book on core values, like defining your values. And I say, like, it's not about those cheesy posters that are on the wall. It's like, what matters to you and your values, which we talked about on your podcast. You pulled out some of mine. And when we can really do that for ourselves, it helps everything. And I say everything because I hear and you hear, like, people have questions about business. And one of them that I get is, well, how do you deal with the negativity or whatever? And it's defining these values and understanding your core values, defining your boundaries and understanding your core values, and knowing these things allow you, as silly as it sounds, to deal with everything that comes your way because there's a filter. All of a sudden, there's a filter. And it's like, that person's just being a jerk. Because there's going to be people out there who are just jerks. There's also people out there who are going to tell you honest opinions, and we can take that information and allow it to make it better.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I remember early on was the first person who, after I had created a course, the first person who asked for a full refund. I had a guarantee, and this person said I was very disappointed in the course. And I remember how hard, like my stomach hurt so bad.
Crushing.
I mean, yeah. I'm sweating. Oh, like it was awful. I get the email. And I had to walk away. I took a walk. I went outside and I was just like, I was devastated. And immediately I was defensive of like, gosh, I put so much work into this. But once I was able to separate it and say, this person is giving me a gift. And so I responded to that person and I said, I am so sorry that your expectations were not met. And I did, just so everyone knows, I did give the person the refund because that's the right thing to do. Yeah. However, in that same email, I said, I would love to help you achieve whatever you wanted to achieve with buying this course. If you'll tell me what it is, I will do anything I can to help you in that manner. And that person gave me the gift of helping me, number one, understand what should have been in that course. So I was able to add it in. Two, it gave me the gift of understanding how to describe something in a better way because that person's expectations were off because of my marketing.
Beautiful.
You know? Yeah. And so that was a true gift, but it hurt hard.
Yeah,
sure.
Way to give it grace though. I think, you know, you just said something that's really important. Like if you do get hurt, walk away from the computer.
Yes.
For a couple of hours at least.
Yes.
It is so easy in those moments where you're like, yeah, you get defensive and you're like, what are you talking about? And it's just like, clear it out. Don't take it personally. And mm-hmm. what you said, that was a beautiful example, like how you turn this into a lesson that really actually enhanced your product.
Right. It did. I mean, that course went on to live it for a long time and helped hundreds of people. And I'm so grateful for that one person who was brave enough to say, I didn't like what you created, you know? And the email was nice. It wasn't like the person berated me in any way, but it hurt my heart. It hurt my stomach. It was awful. And so for anyone who's worried about that, like, in my opinion, it's going to happen. At some point, someone's going to be,
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's going to happen. And again, you're going to have those pangs and it's just keep going back to like, you know, not betraying your values, who you mm-hmm. are, like, you know, and your mission and knowing that, yeah, they're going to be people who might not like it and might not be nice about that night liking and then not like it and be very, you know, helpful in the end.
Right. Oh, so many good things. Laura, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing so much of your story. I don't know how often you get to share the origin story of your business, but thank you for sharing it with me and everyone listening. Where can people find out more about you and learn about how to learn with you too?
Well, thank you, Amanda. This is so, this is like coffee type talk.
I know.
We can talk all day. So I love it. I love it. You know, I'm really about women empowering women. I believe that, you know, the world will be better if we start lifting each other up more and supporting each other. So thank you for being an example of that by having me here. You can find out more Instagram. I'm laura.hyman. My website, everything's there pretty much. It's Lit Yoga, L-Y-T. That actually stands for Laura's Yoga Technique, L-Y-T. But it's also about, it's like an onomatopoeia. You feel lit up when you say lit. And I want everybody to feel really lit up in their spirit and in their lives. So lityoga.com. My podcast is there, which Amanda is on. And you can go onto the online platform, which is called Lit Daily. We have over 500 classes and even more, but only about 500 at a time up there.
It's amazing. I highly recommend it. It is amazing. And my body is better because of it, because I know more about my body. So I will highly endorse it for sure.
Yeah. So go, and there's a two week free trial. So give it a go. And if you have any questions, you can always write me at support@lityoga.com.
Thank you so much, Laura, for being here today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
I told you you would be inspired, and I know you are. I wish we were on a walk or washing your dishes or whatever you're doing right now as you're listening. I wish I was with you so I could hear what you thought about all of the amazing nuggets of wisdom that Laura shared, because it wasn't just about defining success, but that's the piece that I want you to carry with you today. But there was so many other things in there about how to navigate dealing with negative comments or taking one step at a time. My goodness, there were so many amazing things that she shared, and I would love to hear your takeaways or see your takeaways. So if you want to share that with me, my favorite place to do that is on Instagram. So if you want to take like a screenshot of this episode and tag me and Laura, we would love to see it. Share your takeaways. I would love that. I am at the Amanda McKinney on Instagram. But more importantly, the next step I want you to take today after listening to this incredible episode is defining success on your terms. If you have not done this, that is definitely what I want you to do. Remember, I have a free guide on this that walks you through it step by step. So you can do this very easily. And you can find that at amandamckinney.com/success. And if you've already defined success, if this is something you've already done, first of all, I'm congratulating you because that's amazing. Second of all, you're not off the hook. I want you to do a little reflection today. I want you to take a pause after listening to this episode and ask yourself, do you feel successful? Based on your definition, remember, not anybody else's, but based on your definition, do you feel successful? And if you do, keep on going, my friend. I am so excited for you, and that is amazing. But if you don't feel successful in this moment or in the last few days as you've been going through your life, I would want you to reflect on what needs to change. Now, you probably can't make all the changes at once, and you probably can't make all the changes because they involve other people or whatever the case is. So it doesn't mean you're going to make the changes right away, but asking yourself what needs to change would be incredible. I would encourage you to start with business stuff. Those are oftentimes more controllable than the rest of your life, but asking yourself the question, number one, how do I define success? Number two, do I feel successful? And if you don't, asking yourself what needs to change. This is a huge component of finding success throughout your life, not just in your business, but in the whole thing integrated together. Because like Laura was sharing, there's so many other things we're doing in our life, and the season of our life makes a huge difference. So asking yourself in each different season is really important. So until next time, give yourself permission to follow your definition of success each step of the way and grace along the way too. I'll talk to you soon.